Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, I wish I was in the land of cotton. Old towns are not forgotten. Look away. Dixieland, singing fellas.
Oh, I wish I was in Dixie, away, in Dixieland I'll take my stand, to live and die in Dixie.
Oh, Dixieland, I was born early, lost one frosty morn. Look away, Dixieland.
Doesn't that just get you? Doesn't it just get you right here when the king performs Dixieland? Good evening, folks. I'm your host, Dr. C. Robert Jones. Welcome to another fun-filled hour of the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. I have my substitute host here who's functioning tonight as my co-host. What a big surprise. What a great surprise. Cool Mike, who will be taking over the show for me as I go away on vacation starting on the 22nd. So glad to have you, Cool Mike. Can you hear me okay? Mike.
Yeah.
I guess he'll be back shortly. Let me just make sure we got him here.
No, I was here. You just had me muted. Sorry, Doc.
Ah, sorry about that.
Well, thanks for having me. I wanted to surprise you. I won't be able to be with you tomorrow, but I thought it would be cool if we did one show before you took off. It's getting to be a ritual. I stood in for you last week and last year, and here I am again.
Well, I'm glad that you're here. I was taking it down to the wire. I know G-Ski said that he would help out if he could, but, you know, it's really nice to have you know, to have you back, and you know, it's actually a mixed blessing, Cool Mike. I'll be honest with you, because whenever I go away and you fill in for me, I come back and it's like, hey, wait, where's Cool Mike? Well, what are you doing here?
Yeah, right, right. Well, we're gonna have fun tonight, and I got some good things lined up for the future. As far as while you're gone, I'm having the president of Hillsdale College. And a individual from my high school, who is a coach down there, is kind of a liaison to him, and we were able to pull that off. And I'm going to just kind of bring some other blog talk shows in under different categories, music, education, and we're going to have them on as guests. Just do some different things. But that's then tonight. This is tonight.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing what you put out there as I get into places like St. Thomas or places like that where I get a really good connection for, you know, no cost. But I know that your shows are always great and everybody's you know, they just love it. You know, wherever you are, you know, whether you're with G-Ski, Southern Sense,
GGT,
or GGT, Southern Sense, or even when you were with Perry, I know, you know, you just do great shows. You're a really great blog talk host. But let's get this started.
First question
we want to ask right here and now is, why do liberals especially hate black Republicans? There's something about African Americans who are also Republicans that really seem to piss off left-wingers. Black Republicans face ridicule from liberals in general, even from other blacks specifically. But more so than the usual liberal versus conservatives, Dem versus Republicans fighting blacks who learn right, who lean right, are conservative and vote Republican, or libertarian are especially singled out. As if Democrats own the black vote and always expect blacks to side with them. What do you think about that?
Well, a robot is wound up and it goes in the direction it's told.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, Doc, we have individuals, not only like yourself, but J.C. Watts, just plenty of them out there, plenty of examples out there. And guess what? Clarence Jones isn't listening to the direction of his master. And neither is many of the other people. And for many, many years, it was always I don't want to say a dream, but it was kind of goals for people, for their children who were African or black, to go to colleges, et cetera. So here they are. They're graduates of college. They're running businesses. They're thinking on their own. But they're not thinking according to the law of Maxine Waters and many of the other robot programmers, I should say.
Well, you know what? You're exactly right. And it seems to me that people can be downright nasty to black Republicans. Anytime a black person rises high in the Republican Party or is granted a prominent, highly visible public office as a Republican, i.e. Condoleezza Rice or even Colin Powell, they're criticized by liberals and often by other blacks as being, quote, Uncle Toms, end quote, or, quote, token blacks, end quote. When a black person chooses to be a Republican, we see a lot of nastiness and closeted racism that come out from the Democrats.
Also smears against themselves and their family. I mean, Herman Cain was a perfect example, somebody who was very competitive, who, until he became a threat, out of the closet come 5 million girlfriends who... half of which Herman Cain didn't even know who they were.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just a perfect example. And it's almost a sad, it's really almost sad, instead of cheering many people. You know, thank God for choices. Thank God for people who think the way they do, although we disagree with some of the people on the far left or left in general. But, I mean, to all of a sudden now you're calling Herm Cain's grandmother and mom, they must not be real blacks. They must,
yeah.
Where did they go wrong with him? Those type of hurtful remarks really indicate that I think an awful lot of people who for many, many years claim to be wanting to help the tree of the black community grow and nurture really want to just be the gardeners and control how high it grows and be able to snip it and when they want. And when they're finding out people aren't, their only alternative to these free-spirited, free-minded, many who really are very successful in not just the business world, but in the political world. Alan West is a real perfect example, who's someone who is very focused, but they resort to basically any name you can think of. The N-word isn't even bad enough for these people. I mean, they smear their family and they smear them on. And I don't know what kind of sign it is, but it's just basically what they can't control, they try to blacken so other people will just continue to think, that person is a racist and that person's not really black.
You know, speaking of the N-word, I was really shocked to hear that the black singer and Democrat, Harry Belafonte, activist as well, went so far as to call Colin Powell a House N-word for being a Republican and serving in President Bush's cabinet. Belafonte said something similar about Condoleezza Rice, and she stuck up for herself saying, "I don't need Harry Belafonte to tell me what it means to be black." Even though Belafonte is black himself, he showed his nasty racist side by being down on other blacks with different views, different political views, and different beliefs. Now, when Obama was making his way to becoming the first black president, liberals blasted black Republicans for not supporting him. And here's the rub. Do all black liberals vote for conservative? Do all black conservatives vote for conservative Alan Keyes whenever he runs for president? Hell no. Just because he's black? Not at all. Alan Keyes was running for president before Obama. And I don't remember Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton or any of those folks coming to his side just because he's black. You know, it's true that blacks in America tend to vote as a bloc and stand by Democrats. But it's a relatively recent move, and this is where we get into the subject about the Republican Party and being black's true friends, because we're gonna play a clip in just a minute that gives a little bit of the history of the black how the Republican Party got started and why. You know, blacks were solidly Republican since the time of Abraham Lincoln. And the prominent black civil rights activists and abolitionists of the 19th century were solidly Republican, including Frederick Douglass, Sojourner Truth, Harriet Tubman, and Booker T. Washington. Now, I got a message on Facebook from Colonel, a Marine colonel who served with me in the Marine Corps. And as I put the topic of this show into the page, he said, "Well, yeah, that's true. Blacks were Republicans, but that was right up until the time of the Civil Rights Movement. You know, but once the Civil Rights Movement took hold, a lot of blacks went Democrat, which seems to me, Mike, to be even worse. Because Southern Democrats were the ones who were causing all the trouble."
Well, and it is your standard of any. We always like to say when Democrats are losing a debate, they start the name calling. But it's standard for everyone. And you know, Harry Belafonte, who I really dislike, because when he called Condi Rice a House Negro, he called her a nigger actually, and he referred as an educated. As if somehow that is, because she went to Notre Dame,
yeah.
Of course, I love. As if somebody being educated is it makes you less of a black person? I mean, I would have loved to just spit in his face when basically these are the roots that you want to plant, because these people will reach out and help others who don't have those opportunities. But for some reason, because they think differently politically, you resort to the name calling. Not just the name calling, Dr. Smears.
Exactly. Mike, do you think that Harry Belafonte would call Frederick Douglass a house nigga or sell out or an Oreo? Do you think that Harry Belafonte would call Sojourner Truth, Harriet Tubman, or Booker T. Washington, any of these names, all solidly Republican? And probably still would be if they were still here?
You're a Marine. Let me put it to you this way. Birds of a feather flock together. Look at the crowd he keeps, and there's your answer.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Black Republicans ran for political office, pushed for Republican candidates, and stuck with Republican ideas right through the 1950s and 1960s. Even Martin Luther King was a Republican. And Colonel Ray, one of my good friends from the Marine Corps, go way back, stated that, yeah, Dr. King was a Republican, but right up until the Civil Rights Movement. No, Dr. King never stopped being a Republican, and he did not endorse either Democrat or Republicans. He believed that clergy should not get involved in those sorts of things, not endorse any particular candidate for any party. That was his belief. He was Republican, and so was his dad. And that surprises a lot of people. And King's legacy, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, remains conservative on certain issues like family values and standing against gay marriage. But nobody talks about these things.
In a lot of ways, some of these topics are only for the elite blacks to talk about. It's not for people like Dr. Jones or whomever it may be. It's for the powers that be, the Jesse Jacksons, the Maxine Waters. Who's the guy you hate? The one who's looked dirty all the time? He's got those broken glasses.
Oh, my God. Is that Cornel West?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Whenever I see him, Doc, I'll start laughing. People will think I'm drunk or something. They'll be like, why are you laughing? I'm just thinking of Doc Jones.
Yeah. I'd like to slap him around every once in a while, but he tends to get down on Obama every once in a while, so it's the only reason why he's not missing another tooth, right about now.
But there's a perfect example. It's as if somehow to be a spokesperson or a leader of the black community, you have to think this way, when all along the term diversity is loved to be used in the Democratic Party. Well, where is the diversity? There is none. Clarence Jones or Condi Rice, who, by the way, I love Condi Rice. She is I disagree with her a lot politically, but she is a great Notre Dame graduate. She's the articulate speaker. And, you know, when she talks, she can talk to an idiot. She doesn't use these huge words that people are like a lot of people like to, not to mention J.C. Watt. I mean, the list is endless of great role models. I mean, isn't this what we want? But we want them to think differently.
You're exactly right. So let's go ahead and run down a short list of some prominent black Republicans. The first on the list has to be Colin Powell, and then Dr. Condoleezza Rice. The second Supreme Court Justice, Clarence Thomas. Rat Pack crooner, Sammy Davis Jr. Alan Fletcher, Alan Keyes. Samuel Fuller was the self-made businessman, president of the United Negro Basketball League, and headed up a chapter of the NAACP. Republican. Don King, of course, boxing promoter, who put on major fights with Muhammad Ali, including the Thriller in Manila and the Rumble in the Jungle. Ida Wells, co-founder of the NAACP. Republican. Dr. Mildred Fay Jefferson, first black woman to graduate from Harvard Medical School. She became a pro-life activist and Republican political candidate. Larry Elder, radio talk show host, author, and Republican activist. Michael Steele, of course, we know about him, chairman of the Republican National Committee at one time. Some blacks realize that Republicans who stand for individual liberty, school vouchers and charters and business freedom can do a lot more good for everyone, including blacks. But Democrats, the thing about Democrats is they would rather you not stand on your own, because if you do so, you'll realize that you don't need the Democrats. I mean, and their power, the base of their power comes from them convincing blacks that you need me. You need me because I can give you things for free. And all you have to do is support me, vote for me, give me power and dominion over you, and I'll give you stuff in return.
Well, and the belief that the federal government, Michelle Obama in particular, is mommy daycare, lunch care. They put you to bed, they wake you up, they change your diaper, they wipe your booty when you go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
This idea that they can take care of you in your elder years, in your golden years, just do whatever. The federal government is going to be there for you. This is just another part of trying to make people it really goes after the vulnerable people is what it is, the people who really can't defend themselves or take care of themselves. It's another one of these manipulations to basically surrender some of the civil rights and your God-given rights away to the federal government.
That's exactly, you're exactly right. Go ahead.
No, that my comment is these. There's an old saying that God gave the life, so God's really the only one who can take it. That's a belief for those who don't support capital punishment. We can argue that another day. But the bottom line is, if God created this life, I don't think it's anywhere written you surrender it to the United States federal government, i.e. Michelle Obama and her lunch program. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Oh, yeah. Oh, but it has to be healthy now. She can eat a steak, with a big baked potato with lots of sour cream and chives, which is causing my mouth to water, oddly enough. But you can't have that because it's not good for you. So, yeah, you're exactly right. So let's take a moment and review the history of the Republican Party, and then we'll take it from there. You're listening to the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. The call-in number is 347-884-8500.
And Thomas Jefferson's party, the Democratic Party, had become the majority party in Congress. With this new party in charge, a change in congressional policy emerged. Recall that the 1789 law prohibited slavery in a federal territory. In 1820, the Democratic Congress passed the Missouri Compromise and reversed that earlier policy, permitting slavery in almost half of the federal territories. Several states were subsequently admitted as slave states, and for the first time since the Declaration of Independence in the Constitution, slavery was being officially promoted by congressional policy. Several other pro-slavery laws were also passed by Democrats in Congress, including the 1850 Fugitive Slave Law. That law required Northerners to return escaped slaves back into slavery or else pay huge fines. In many instances, the law became little more than an excuse for Southern slave hunters to kidnap free blacks in the North and carry them into slavery in the South. Because the Fugitive Slave Law allowed free blacks to be carried into slavery, this law was disastrous for blacks in the North. And as a consequence of the atrocious provisions of this Democratic law, some 20,000 blacks in the North completely left the United States and fled to Canada. In fact, the Underground Railroad reached the height of its activity during this period, helping thousands of slaves escape from slavery in the South all the way into Canada, simply to escape the reach of the Democrats' Fugitive Slave Law. In 1854, the Democratic-controlled Congress passed another law strengthening slavery, the Kansas-Nebraska Act, thus allowing slavery to be introduced into parts of the new territory where it previously had been forbidden, thereby increasing the national area in which slavery would be permitted. Following the passage of these pro-slavery laws in Congress, in May of 1854, a number of the anti-slavery Democrats in Congress, along with some anti-slavery members from other political parties, including the Whigs, Free Soilers, and Emancipationists, they formed a new political party to fight slavery and secure equal rights for black Americans. The name of that party? They called it the Republican Party. They called it that because they wanted to return to the principles of freedom and equality first set forth in the governing documents of the Republic before the pro-slavery members of Congress had perverted those original principles.
So there you have it, Mike. We're back with the C. Robert Jones Situation Report, and tonight we're talking about blacks, Republicans, why Republicans are blacks' best friend. So there you have it. The Republican Party established. Now, this is not an opinion. I know that a lot of black folks like to say, well, that's your opinion. No. These are facts, historical facts that are well documented. The Republican Party was started with the express purpose of liberating blacks and returning to the Republican the individual freedoms. The Republican Party was established for that purpose, and yet today the majority of blacks are Democrat. There are literally thousands of examples of Republicans, of Democrats, perverting the individual God-given rights of black folks throughout the history of this country. Not so Republicans, but the majority of blacks are Democrat. Why?
Well, who was it who said, Doc, this will ensure that the black vote will be Democrat for 50 years?
No. It was 200 years, and it was 200. President Johnson. President Johnson finagled Democrats in the House and in the Senate to vote for his civil rights legislation, and he got it passed, and blacks applauded him. Oh, wow. Johnson, you're such a great guy. We love you, man. This is why we're going to vote Democrat, because you're so great. But it was actually Richard Nixon who really put everything into play. Johnson got the credit for signing the legislation, but it had no teeth until Richard Nixon came in and really made an effort, a dramatic effort, to enforce the laws that Johnson put into play. But as Johnson signed the documents into law, he was heard to say by several folks, and it is recorded, now we'll have those niggas voting Democrat for the next 200 years.
If you go back in history, starting with Eisenhower, you will find that more Republicans have gotten grants for starter programs for businesses for minorities of all kinds, just a small business. Many biz companies that are thriving today started with Republicans helping these people with grants, whether it's blacks or the Latinas, or just a poor white person, period.
Mm-hmm.
And you will find out with Barack Obama and everyone's very favorite Bill Clinton,
yeah,
you had to be one of them in order to get any type of assistance starting your own company. You had to be a booty kiss, or you had to be a friend of a friend of a friend. Whereas if you really look back, Ronald Reagan, who I always argue is not a balanced budget conservative, but Ronald Reagan planted a lot of money into companies right now that employ many that are not, that started out as tiny companies and are now big. No, they never get any credit for that. The Republicans are always the slave owners. They're always the bad people with the black hat riding in town to burn it up, you know, the bad cowboys and all that stuff, no matter what they do, because you have television that basically is democratically owned and manipulated. And you also see in many television shows there's subliminal messages, but in fact it really does plant poison among the people that, if you are a conservative Republican, or if you're a conservative period, somehow you get labeled. Yeah, he's black, but Dr. Jones doesn't this, or, you know, whoever it is, if you just don't think standard among the black line of liberalism, you are only black by skin, but not black from within. And that's a tactic that's been being used for hundreds of years. They just get away with it because they have the media. Not to mention, if somebody like Alan West says something wrong, he's got to apologize. He's all over TV. On top of that, Doc, when Harry Belafonte's sitting there swearing, calling people all kinds of epithets, everyone was always laughing, even among the other Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's cool. What's up? But, you know, it's totally different, which shows the triple standard that it exists. And not only that, on your intro show, there's a black running for president. How much publicity does he get?
He gets none.
If he calls CBS or NBC or MSNBC, hey, I got a half hour. You got an open spot for me?
Yeah.
Hello, is anyone there? They hang up on you.
Well,
how about Oprah? Oprah's mm-hmm. another perfect example. You know, you've got to be one of them.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. You know, I think, you know, no, I don't think, I know that for the most part, black folks, and this is just my observation after, you know, being on this planet for 50 years as of this January and observing things to the point where I get an understanding. Most black folks have an inferiority complex when it comes to whites, when it comes to other races. You know, to my mind, there is no rational reason why black folks should be down on Jews. And you know what? I grew up in an area and in an environment in Chicago where the Jewish people were the enemy of blacks. And when one reason for that, as far as I can tell, is because the Jewish people stuck together. They worked hard together. They educated their children. They did whatever it took to keep their families together. They are a together people, and blacks aren't. So they look down on them as being, well, like you know, whatever the stereotype was. And further, black folks want other races to care about them. You see, the Republican Party doesn't go around saying, we care about you. We care about your children. We care about your welfare. We care about the water you drink. We care about how much cholesterol you're putting in your body. We care. So vote for me because I care. When they really don't give a damn at all. They're just trying to acquire power. You know, there's a reason why Kanye West proclaimed shortly after Katrina that George Bush don't care about black people. Those are his exact words. Quote, George Bush don't care about black people, end quote. Why is it that black folks want other races to care about them? It shouldn't matter one way or the other. But there's this perception that Republicans don't care. So now whites, who are mostly Klansmen, Senator Robert Byrd, one of the most famous Klansmen in the Senate, Harry Truman, a former Klansman, all these folks they pretended to care about black people. So let's just go ahead and take a moment and run a clip by another famous, or rather infamous, blog talk host who has a show on Blog Talk Radio. You may recognize the sound of his voice. I'll go ahead and play his clip because it's rather humorous.
Now, as a public service to the human race, the Black Sphere presents Great Moments in Democrat Racist History.
That racist Democrat, FDR, passed the torch to Harry S. Truman, the mild-mannered haberdasher from Missouri. For you liberals, haberdasher is a person who sells clothes. We are taught that Truman saved thousands of American soldiers' lives when he ordered the dropping of 2 atomic bombs on Japanese citizens. Historians now know that Truman was given the news that Japan was ready to surrender after the first atomic bomb. However, Truman decided that he needed to drop the second bomb in order to show the Soviets that America indeed had more than one bomb, and to keep the Soviets intimidated. Some may argue with this tactic, since it cost over 80,000 Japanese lives, and these were the lives of non-combatants, as the liberals would be quick to point out, had Truman been a Republican. Had Truman been a Republican, and knowing what we know today, liberals would likely want to prosecute him for war crimes. At the very least, he would have been accused of being a racist, hell-bent on killing innocent Japanese in the unleashing of the second atomic bomb on Japan. But that would be a ridiculous thought, given that Truman was a Democrat. A Democrat couldn't be a racist, or could he? Harry Truman was a member of the Missouri KKK, that Democrat organization started in 1865. Truman, like most racist Democrats, saw the Klan as a necessary rite of passage to get through the ranks of the Democrat Party. It's what you know. Now deal with it.
Tune in next time for another edition of Great Moments in Democrat Racist History.
All right, so we're back with the C. Robert Jones Situation Report, and here with my co-host, Cool Mike, who will be taking over the show for me in just a couple of days. Mike, what do you think about that?
I think that there's such a blind double standard, Doc, that let's say, for example, we're going to play pretend. Let's say that we had Maxine Waters. I love that lady. Let's say she's tri-hosting with us.
It's almost hard to tell she's wearing a wig, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Doc, what a love. But, all righty. With that being said, Maxine, what was your response? She would argue with you to no end. Basically, you just twice now or three times during the show, you've already proven history. And she would, she has successfully already, she would have an awful lot of people arguing and disagreeing. That's not true. That's misinformation. Mm-hmm. That isn't true because they've played with history and they've altered the educational system to the point to whereas what you just said we know is fact.
Yeah.
Can you imagine had Ronald Reagan been president then and dropped the second bomb? The bottom line is that there's something sweet about the Democrats because there's an awful lot of untruth told about the Democrats.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is that Eisenhower, who was before JFK, really led a lot of the civil rights movement into the JFK administration.
Mm-hmm.
And after JFK was assassinated, God knows why, but he was assassinated, in an, as you mentioned, about President Johnson. There's very, very little strong evidence of any Democrats really reaching out to the black community of improvement other than throwing money their way without any kind of business plan or leadership or mentoring. It's almost as if they throw it there and say, fight amongst yourselves for the dollars to create more chaos, amidst the tribe. And one of the problems that I think an awful lot of successful black Democrats have with the Jewish community is that when they found themselves in the same situations of being discriminated and persecuted and redlined by banks, they formed their own grocery stores, their own co-op. Mm-hmm. They grew their own foods, and they became successful at doing what many black leaders have been prohibiting or roadblocking other black communities from doing. And Barack Obama is a perfect example of, I pointed out last year, he was speaking at Booker T. Washington High School, and he stood up among all these graduates and said, many people don't think a school like Booker T. Washington could be successful.
Mm-hmm.
Who in the hell on this planet ever said anything like that?
Nobody.
Basically, once again, he's poisoning the young kids with this kind of medicine. So when we come back, if they mm-hmm. were on the line or they were the third caller, Doc, he'd be saying, no, that's not true, Doc. That's not true. I learned this in school. And
yeah, exactly.
That's the answer.
You're exactly right. It is amazing to me how, Democrats seek to revise history. And to what end? We're going to figure this out at some point. You know, when I was a kid, Mike, I grew up to revere the lady who sat on the back of the bus, who sat on the bus and who refused to give up her seat. Do you know the name of that lady?
Yeah, Rosa Parks.
Exactly. And she was, and I was told that she was a courageous black woman who ushered in a new era for black people, and that her courageous act, her self-sacrificing act, she could have been lynched, she could have been thrown in jail and languished there for days at a time, but yet she chose to stand her ground. And she should be revered as being the catalyst for the modern civil rights movement. But I believe that right up until about 3 years ago when I learned the truth. The truth is there were two other women who had no backing from the NAACP, none, mind you, who refused to give up their seats because they were tired and they didn't feel that it was right for them to work all day, get on a bus and give up their seat. So they refused, and they were promptly carted off and thrown in jail. But those ladies didn't fit the image needed. So they were, you know, they spent 2-3 days in jail, were afraid for their lives many times, afraid they'd be raped or beaten. Eventually, they were released. But those folks in the NAACP got wind of this, and they figured, well, wait a minute now. This is just what we need to establish a bus boycott. So they looked around, Mike, and they saw this matronly woman, light skin, good hair. She's just kind of sitting there typing because she was working part-time at the local NAACP office as a secretary, and a light bulb went on. And they said, well, we'll use her as our rider, our bus rider. And so they put her on the bus. They called a local news organization. They got a lawyer, Mike. I don't know if you know this or not. They got a lawyer. They had her bail all ready to be posted. And the whole thing was staged. And so in all reality, the two women who are now lost to history, one of them living in Detroit, in Michigan, recently moved from New York to Detroit, they're nobody knows their names except maybe me and maybe a few other people. But Rosa Parks got all the credit for being the courageous woman who set the spark for the civil rights movement and the bus boycott, when actually the whole thing was staged. And people complain about that moon landing being staged. But this event was really staged. Now, a lot of folks will say, Mike, that, well, it doesn't matter whether it was staged or not. Now that you found out, you know, it got the job done. Yeah, but it was faked. It wasn't real.
Well, a lot of things by the NAACP isn't real, especially the fact that they don't brag too much when they come to the aid of these so-called poor minorities being prosecuted. They don't talk about how purposely they lose cases so they can martyr the victims.
Yeah.
And the NAACP is – that helps them get donations and expand and expand. And they don't talk about those kind of things. You know, as a matter of fact, I'm sure your show isn't loved too much by many of them either.
No, no
and,
doubt.
You know, the a quote I wanted to read, it mentioned that this was from a newspaper. It's one of the reasons I really liked Eisenhower. And let me read this. It says, on the heels of the Supreme Court decision outlawing racial segregation in the public schools, the GOP, for those who don't know, that's the Republican Grand Old Party,
mm-hmm.
declared this act was typical of a healthy climate as General Eisenhower and his administration went into the convention. As for the Democrats, the National Committee noted that Democrat turmoil, their division over this matter, has prevented real civil rights progress for over 20 years. In the meantime, in the 17 months of the Eisenhower administration, 7 significant developments have occurred on top of segregation in the schools, in the army, as well as making it illegal to refuse to serve a person of any discretion for color in restaurants of fine dining. Bang, there you go.
Boom, there it is. You know, what I find also interesting, Mike, is that Truman signed a lot of civil rights acts into law, which had no teeth. He had no intention of enforcing the laws that he put into play, just like Johnson had no intention of enforcing those laws. The interesting thing here is that history repeated itself. Truman, who was a Klansman, and it's a fact that he indeed was, said, we're going to do this so we can get their votes. We want blacks to go out and vote, and we want them to vote for us, so we'll make this move. But the move won't be enforced. So along comes Eisenhower, a Republican president, and he says, I'm going to enforce these laws that Truman put into place are actually going to have teeth. They're going to be effective. We're going to make them work. And he did so. Now, fast forward to Johnson, who did the very same thing that Truman did, took a play out of Truman's playbook and did the very same thing. And then Republican Richard Nixon comes into office and he puts teeth into those laws and has them enforced. But neither Eisenhower nor Nixon get any credit whatsoever. It's Johnson and it's Truman. And, you know, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing, and because it's just a little knowledge, you know, you gotta get the whole picture. And a lot of black folks simply don't have the whole picture. Blacks are more concerned at this time with getting something for nothing or getting what they believe is owed to them, that they will vote Democrat, even though the Republican Party stood by blacks for the last 200 years and promoted black liberation. But by saying, hey, you know what, I'm not going to go ahead and take care of you, because really we can't afford that, and why would you want us to? But we will give you the tools. We will help you to succeed by making sure that you're free to do as you please. Well, for a lot of blacks, that's just not good enough. They believe that they're owed something. You know, it's not enough for America to leave me alone. You have to give me something for my trouble, which brings up the point of reparations, Mike. Blacks are still asking for that 40 acres and a mule. I heard somebody ask about it just a couple of days ago. Are you kidding me?
$250,000 in gold.
Are they asking for that too?
Well, I saw the guy's name was Brock. You have to look it up online, but he was on a television show, and that's what he said, $250,000 in gold. The weird thing is that later on in this program, he acknowledged that every human being in the United States has some black in them.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, if that's the case, I want my money. I'll take it in cash. I don't need the gold, but give me the money. But, I mean,
yeah,
that's just ridiculous. Okay, Doc, let's just say for argument's sake, these people who are pissed off, and keep in mind, an awful lot of black people in this country have contributed in the military. They're very prideful people. They don't.
Yeah.
They want nothing to do with these losers. But okay, so this person hates us because of whatever. We give them the money. Does that mean now all of a sudden they like us? Now America's the land of opportunity? And, you know, does this make your political views, are you less of a house Negro because now he got his money? You know, it doesn't hold water, Doc.
It doesn't at all, Mike, but here's the thing. Democrats, you know, they'll say that, you know, we care for the welfare of all people, and a lot of the policies we put into place are to help everyone. And, you know, especially those poor blacks who, you know, really have had a hard time. We really need to focus on how best to take care of them and make sure that, you know, justice is served here. When really, it doesn't really matter at all. It's as if most African Americans are simply sheep who are following. They're following whatever it is that they can get for free. And to me, I find it to be extremely appalling because, you know, blacks are, for the most part, a proud people, and for the most part, very conservative when it comes to social issues. But it seems as though history has been lost, and I can't imagine how many black people do not know how the Republican Party was started and why. You know, I've heard scholars talk to me when we've had discussions in faculty meetings at colleges that I've lectured at and all of that, who say, well, yeah, Lincoln freed the slaves, but he really didn't want to. You know, he only did it so he could get this, or he only did it so he could get that, or he said that if he could save the Union, and by keeping all the slaves, he'd do it. And if he could not free the slaves, he wouldn't. If he could, he'd free them all. You know, they're parsing history in my mind. They're just putting it one way or the other, when actually the Republican Party was started with the express purpose of all men being free, slaves included. Now, we have a call on the line, Mike, so let's see who it is and get their take. Caller, you're on with the C. Robert Jones situation report with my co-host, Cool Mike.
Man, you already know what my take is on this, Brother Jones.
Hey,
Cool Mike.
Here it is. Here we go. Doc, I'm going to have Sarge a couple times for the co-host when I take over for you. Sarge and I have some great shows together. But go ahead, Sarge. Floor is yours.
Hey, I appreciate the sentiment there, Cool Mike. I got to admit, it is certainly stimulating when I'm on with you. I will agree. But Doc, you are just the creme de la creme, sir. And like,
thank you.
You're covering this subject tonight. It's so vital, so important. Look, reparations is nothing but a cultural Marxist wealth redistribution scheme.
Yeah.
Now let's understand this. I'm talking about the impetus behind it. It's cultural Marxist wealth redistribution. Not all the people who are involved on it are cultural Marxists. Many of them are Pan-African nationalists and African cultural nationalists and nationalists of various entities, and they don't even consider themselves necessarily Marxists, even though much of their inspiration and their logic is. But at the bottom line, the people who really push it, to a certainty, you look at people like Randall Robinson and what's this other guy's name that was involved with this, with Africa or something else. All of them have affinities with the left or the new left or allied with the left or work within the past. The cultural Marxist wealth redistribution scheme. And I think what we have to talk about at some point is the extent to which the modern-day civil rights movement was influenced by socialists and outright Marxists and many times communists.
Yeah.
And we cannot talk about why it has taken the path it has taken without bringing that up. Now, you see, to bring it up in the past was discredited because, you know, many of the people, frankly, even though they did so truthfully, when they associated a communist with many people, key players, in fact, in the civil rights movement, who were, in fact, communists. And, in fact, some of them had Soviet handlers from Moscow. Many of them, unfortunately, were also personally repellent on a personal level. As a result, the very idea of even valid criticism of many civil rights leaders became entangled with some very discredited and personally reprehensible people. Didn't mean what they were saying wasn't true. But, you know, it got to the point where you can't even, you know, you can't bring up the legitimate criticism of the modern-day civil rights movement and its association with socialist, communistic movements and also seeing the way it has metastasized into today. You can't do it without being tarred and feathered with the brush of these terrible people. When in reality, the criticism should be able to stand by itself. Why are we constantly advocating for socialist, statist positions? Because socialism, leftism, and communism are statist philosophies.
They are indeed, and they fit very well. You know, no matter what history tells us, that in terms of how Marxism doesn't work, socialism barely works in some countries. Communism simply does not work. It has failed everywhere it's tried, except so far with China. And I'm understanding that it's failing there right now as well, where they have sort of like a pseudo communist situation there, where they're all about making tons of money over there. Which
they can partition it. They can partition capitalism and communism. To some extent, that's successful with the capitalist part. All of it's really more like state fascism, really, than it is communism or capitalism. But they're having some success with that part of it. You ask the people who are living in the communist section of it, it's a dismal failure.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. It doesn't work. But yet, there's the appeal of getting something for nothing, pretty much. Or denying someone else more than what you have. You've got more than me. We should all be equal. Everything should be equal in everybody's house and all of that. Al Sharpton is famous as saying that Martin Luther King believed that everything should be equal in everybody's house. No, Martin Luther King did not believe that. unless Al Sharpton was speaking metaphorically, which I don't think he was, you know, Martin Luther King did not believe in communism or socialism, as he was listed as being a socialist and a communist many times. I don't believe that. You know, I can't say for sure. I wasn't around back then, you know, but to my mind, he was a Republican, and I'll go with that until, you know, there's evidence to suggest otherwise.
Well, I'm going to have to beg to differ with you a little bit on that,
Doc,
because I've got his book, Stride Toward Freedom. Mm-hmm. I can show you innumerable passages from that book written in 1957 where he laid out a very strong case for socialism, where he explained what he saw as the faults of capitalism and Marxism, but he indicated much favoritism and much agreement with, a Hegelian dialectics and with the idea that they needed to find some middle ground between capitalism and communism, kind of a synthesis, sort of, you know, the Hegelian thing. You know, I mean, it really, when you hear it, you would have to reassess your point. Remember, he wrote this book.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and get
the people he surrounded himself with, like Bayard Rustin, Hunter Pitts O'Dell, Sanford Levinson, who were outright communists. Outright, I mean, top leadership. And when he got on the SCLC for his employing these people, he temporarily fired them until the heat got off, and then he hired him back again. I don't think Martin Luther King was a communist. I really don't, because he was a man of God. He could not reconcile the atheist part of communism and Marxism. But he definitely was a socialist. I don't have any doubt about that.
Well,
I think
and he called for finished government programs to correct the deficiencies in the black community. And he made out a very strong case for why it should be so, in his own words.
Well, I'm being educated
later in his life, after the civil rights laws had been passed.
Well,
keep in mind, too, for democracy or a republic, the Constitution is set up to where it will function like freedom if the checks and balances are in place, from the feds all the way down to the state and local. It's now a lot of the problems we're seeing is because we've given up too much of the rights to the feds, and then they hamper with what is the market, the free market, etc. So,
well, you should have seen that sort of solutions Martin Luther King was advocating for. They were very much mainstream, modern-day Democrat thinking. I have no doubt had he lived, he would have been solidly with the mainstream Democrats on just about everything they want to do, including mandated health care and everything else. All you have to do is read his own writings.
Well, Cool Mike's going to take over the show as of the 23rd, Thursday the 23rd, and he'll be on until right around the 9th when I return. Tomorrow's show, we're going to hear from some of those famous black folks like Frederick Douglass, Sojourner Truth, Harriet Tubman, Booker T. Washington, some of those famous Republicans. We're going to hear from them.
Yeah.
From the beyond and get their take on what it meant to be Republican. And then we're going to dabble just a little bit into the constitutional history and how that played a part in slavery as it developed and what the founding fathers thought about slavery and what the vote was on how removing the Thomas Jefferson who put in the Constitution the removal of slavery. Is that correct, Sarge? You're
who was that
a constitutional guy. Thomas
who
Jefferson?
Yeah, Thomas Jefferson did advocate for that, and particularly in the Declaration, which he was forced to take out because they didn't want any hassle with the Southern states. And
that's
one of the
exactly
great stories,
right,
I think, about what you just spoke of, Frederick Douglass originally thought the Constitution was an enslaving document, it was a horrible document, didn't have anything to say to the black man about freedom, but when he studied the history of the Constitution, he changed his mind 180 degrees.
Oh, my God.
Liberty and freedom document.
You know what, Sarge? You just ruined that piece that I have queued up for tomorrow.
You've got to go into detail, though. That'll be better. We'll see his thinking, why in fact, he turned around on it and his thinking that caused him to change. That's a wonderful story, I think.
Indeed. Guys, we have just 40 seconds left. I want to thank Cool Mike for surprising me by sitting in. Cyber City came in the house, Casanova Frankenstein. Sarge is here. It's all great. We had a great show. Time is running out, so I want to thank everybody. Come back tomorrow because we're going to finish this up before I leave out of town. Thank you very much for being here. God bless you. God bless the United States of America. I'm out.
Try not to get worried. Try not to turn on to problems that upset you. Don't you know everything's all right? Yes, everything's fine. And we want you to sleep well tonight. Let the world turn without you tonight. If we try, we'll get by, so forget all about us tonight.
Everything's all right, yes, everything's all right, yes.
Sleep and I shall soothe you, calm you, and anoint you for your hot forehead. Then you'll feel everything's all right, yes, everything's fine. And it's cool and the ointment's sweet for the fire in your head and feet. Close your eyes and relax. Think of nothing tonight.
Hey, hey, woman, you're fine ointment, brand new and expensive. Should have been saved for the poor. Why has it been wasted? We could have raised maybe 300 silver pieces or more. People who are hungry, people who are starving, they matter more than your meat and hair.
Try not to get worried, try not to turn on to problems that upset you. Don't you know everything's all right? Yes, everything's all right, yes.
Surely you're not saying we have the resources to save the poor from their lot. There will be poor always, pathetically struggling. Look at the good things you've got. Think while you still have me, move while you still see me. You'll be lost and you'll be sorry when I'm gone.
Sleep and I shall soothe you, calm you, and anoint you for your hot forehead. Then you feel everything's alright, yes, everything's fine. And it's cool and the ointment's sweet for the fire in your head and feet. Close your eyes and relax. Think of nothing tonight. Close your eyes.